On a recent Focus on the Family broadcast, Dr. Michael Youssef provided a unique perspective by explaining what attracted him as an immigrant from Egypt to the United States of America. Here he is now, Dr. Youssef of the Church of the Apostles in Atlanta, Georgia, speaking at a God and Country rally.
What I really wanted to do in this very special occasion is to pour my heart to you as an immigrant to this country who value it, who cherish it, who is proud of the fact that America gave me home when I fled the country of Egypt. I know what it is to be persecuted for the faith, but I also know the process by which you can get to that point. And I want to tell you, as a one individual, I am vigilant when I see those signs rising everywhere in our nation, that I speak and I speak my mind, and be as it may. But the picture of what is happening in this country in the last 40 years is this. Out of the generosity and the kindness of America, it opened its doors to immigrants such as myself to come here and to receive all the benefits and all the blessings that this country offers. I'm immensely thankful to be an American, immensely thankful to be a naturalized American citizen, a ceremony that I think each of you ought to go through. It is a great experience and a great joy that day when that happened a couple of decades ago. But I speak for many modern day immigrants when I say this. Please listen carefully. I speak as an immigrant when I say that we want an America as it was envisioned by the founding fathers. We want an America that fears God. We want an America whose foundation is the Bible. We want an America of which the 1844 Supreme Court said the Bible, and especially the New Testament, should be read and taught as divine revelation in schools. Otherwise, where can the purest principles of morality be learned so clearly or so perfectly as from the New Testament? We want an America of which the 1892 Supreme Court said the morality of the country is deeply regrafted upon Christianity and not upon doctrines or worship of other religions. We want an America of which the 1811 New York Supreme Court said, whatever strikes at the root of Christianity tends manifestly to the dissolution of the civil government because it tends to corrupt the morals of the people and destroy good order. We want an America that reflects the views and the beliefs of the 97% of the population, not only the 3% minority. We want an America of which Webster said, the principles of all genuine liberty and of wise laws and administrations are to be drawn from the Bible and sustained by its authority. The man, therefore, who weakens or destroys the divine authority of that book may be an accessory to all of the public disorders which society is doomed to suffer. How prophetic that is! How prophetic that is. That's the kind of America that so many of us who are immigrant to this nation want to see happen again. Far from heeding the words of the early courts, in the past 40 years, the courts have been busily striking at the Christian foundation of this nation. Not only that, but the educational bureaucracy has been so busily rewriting America's history as we knew it. I knew more about American history and the Christian foundation of this nation growing up in Egypt as a persecuted Christian minority than most kids in American schools. Imagine the new history books where George Washington gets a fleeting mention is never described as the first president of this great country. And yet the history of the founding of the Sierra Club and the National Organization for Women occupies the center stage in some of these history books. Let me quote to you for what Mrs. Cheney said, who headed up the National Endowment for Humanity between 1986 and 1993. She said that the authors of the new history books appointed by the Clinton administration, Gold 2000 Act, has no mention of Robert E. Lee, Alexander Graham Bell, Thomas Edison, Albert Einstein, Jonas Salk, and the Wright brothers. Meanwhile, the students were asked to analyze the achievement and the grandeur of Manasseh's Moses Court, the social custom and the wealth of the kingdom of Mali. Give me a break. How far have we come? How far have we come? One of our educators hit it on the head when he said, and I quote, he said, "If foreign government had done to the nation's schools what we have done, we would have considered it to be an act of war." End of quote. But the media in general is trying desperately to make anyone who says anything positive about the God of the founding fathers to look like a fanatic and stupid. Well, we are stupid for Jesus. Amen. In America today, you can never say anything negative about Muhammad or Buddha or Krishna, but you blaspheme the name of the Lord all day long and will not be considered politically incorrect. They think that this is a new era of enlightenment. I want to tell you, in reality, if it keeps on persisting, it's going to be a new dark ages. What is the solution? Psalm 119 verse 11 says, "I have hidden your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you." The solution is for God's people to wake up from the religious stupor and get on with being the army of the living God. The solution The solution is for God's people to rise up and say, enough is enough. For one of us can put 1,000 to flight and 2 cause a legion to flee. That is the solution. The solution is for God's people to get out of their passivity and out of that mode of doing nothing and get involved in the political process and make a difference. The solution is for God's people to believe that one man or one woman plus God can make a difference in the world today. I told you I've lived in a society and I know what it is to be persecuted for your faith. You don't have to say much, but the very fact that you're a Christian, you're alienated. I have seen it with my own eyes when the government can try to convince its citizen that the government knows best. Ruin a nation. That returning to our roots as a nation will not happen only by political action. It will not happen by merely wishing it to happen. Returning to our roots will not happen by merely to believe that one man or one woman plus gathering one God can make a difference in the world today. Day, a year, I told you I've lived in a society and I know what it is to be persecuted for your faith. You don't have to say much, praying, but the very fact for the nation. That will not cut it. It will not happen as long as God's people continue to rationalize and explain away sin. Change will not happen as long as we continue to explain sin as freedom. Change will not happen unless we repent. Change will not happen unless we call upon our God in tears and in repentance. Change will not happen unless the citizens insist that on biblical principles of the founding fathers be reinstated by the Congress overturning, if they have to, the decisions of the Supreme Court. Change. Change will happen when we get back to the old-fashioned mourner's bench. Change will happen when mothers are honored again in this country. Change will happen when children be seen as a gift of God and not as a nuisance. Change will happen when the fathers take the rightful place in the family and be the spiritual heads of their homes. Change will happen when we insist that our representatives, regardless of their political affiliation, must be honest, upright, and God-fearing. Change will happen. But in our hearts, it was Andrew Jackson who said, pointing to the Bible, "This book, sir, is the rock upon which this republic is built." If Andrew Jackson comes back, he will find that the rock is being shattered. Patrick Henry said, "The Bible is worth all of the other books that have ever been written." If Patrick Henry would come back, he would be shocked at what happened to the Bible, especially in the public schools. The psalmist said, "If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" And Jesus said of the Father to the Father, he said, "Thy word is truth." And I want to tell you, in the jungle of academia, in which I spend quite a bit of time, thank God he saved me out of it. In the jungle of academia, they're spending hundreds of millions of dollars and untold hours simply asking, "What is truth?" Here it is, plain and simple. Thy word is truth. Change will happen, but you know what? When we start hiding the word of God in our hearts, not from the classrooms, it's not mind-twisting enough for them. If they could only understand that the truth gives hope to the hopeless, that the truth gives peace to the tormented, that the truth gives joy to the sorrowful, that the truth gives freedom to the captives, that truth gives salvation to the lost. And this is the only book that will save our nation from cultural collapse and disintegration. I know that there are untold billions that have been spent in trying to find the solution to our national problems, our national crisis. If anybody in DC is listening, I hope they'll be listening to this. The solution to our problem is in this book. Go back to the book, for this is the only book that was written by God's own Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit of God is the one who knows the past, he knows the present, and he knows the future. And the Holy Spirit of God said, "Thy word is truth."
I so appreciate Dr. Yusuf. He is passionate about this nation and the freedoms we enjoy here, particularly the freedom of religious expression that we enjoy here. And you can find out more about him when you stop by our website. We do have information there as well about Christian citizenship, as well as trusted advice for your marriage, your parenting journey, and your walk of faith. That's at focusonthefamily.com.